What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Uh-huh. Still here. 2 hours down and another three to go. The Keith McPherson Show, KM to AM. Tonight on this Monday night, watching Monday Night Football. It's actually a really good game. I know it's preseason, and I'm the main one to tell you that it's just preseason, but the first string offenses came out playing like it was week one, week five. There's already been 28 points scored. It's 14-14. Like, if you're not watching this game right now, like, this feels like a regular season game. Now, maybe it doesn't because Jaden Daniels has already run off the field and Josh Johnson on his 14th team is in. But, I mean, Jaden Daniels had a rushing touchdown. Joe Burrow just threw a touchdown in the back of the end zone, had to wait a minute for the receiver to come open and throw a dime. I'm enjoying it. Let's take a look at the out-of-town scoreboard in Major League Baseball. The score is 14-14 in the nation's capital with this NFL game, Bengals versus Commanders. Some games you might be interested in. The Phillies went up 7-0 on the Mariners. It is now 11-4, top of the eighth. They have 19 hits. I saw Bryce Harper go deep. I'm sure Schwarber or Turner or who knows. The rest of those characters probably chipped in as well. The Blue Jays right now, don't want to jinx it, but I got to tell you, the Blue Jays are down to the Pirates, 3-2, top of the eighth. The Blue Jays have been so pesky, you just know no game is out of reach for them. Also about the Blue Jays, I saw they will activate Shane Bieber on Friday. You guys know Shane Bieber, former Guardian, Cleveland Guardian. Yeah, I mean, they made the move to get him at the deadline. This guy's been an ace. We'll see what he turns into. Other scores, the Houston Astros are getting absolutely spanked by A.J. Hinch and the Detroit Tigers. 10-0. Top of the ninth there. The Cardinals and the Marlins are facing off. The Cardinals are up in Miami 5-3, top of the ninth. The Orioles, who I just told you earlier in the show, they're no slouch. Do not write them off as a soft team, soft schedule. They've been playing tough. In the middle of the seventh inning, they are at Fenway, up 4-0 on the Red Sox. Do your thing, baby Orioles. Do your thing. The White Sox are up 7-0 on the Braves, bottom fifth. The Royals are up 3-1 after four over the Rangers. The Dodgers and Rockies have started playing in the second inning. The Dodgers are up 2-0. And the rest of these games don't get started until after 9:38, 9:40. So before I get out of here tonight, we'll look at the out-of-town scoreboard again. But for the Yankee fan, the Astros getting smacked. Really, the Blue Jays potentially dropping a game to the Pirates would be lovely. The Red Sox losing right now, like, that could all help us on a night where the Yankees do not play. Mario's in Long Beach on the fan. What's up, Mario?
What's going on? Good show, as always.
Thanks. Working on it.
Yeah, really, really excited about the Yankees, and I really think that, they can go far. You know, to me, what the key is going to be to this, Keith, is, Fried has to become Fried, and I think he will be, because I believe that since 2021 he has the best ERA in baseball, by the way, Fried, you know?
I mean, people are throwing us a bunch of numbers and things like that. He's not on the Braves anymore. He hasn't been good his last few starts as a Yankee. He's got to figure it out. I believe he can, but, like, when? Like, you know, it's got to happen soon. And that's why I've already pitched a Phantom IL stint for him when Yarbrough comes back. Like, they got it. This guy is the key to doing anything this year. If he cannot be an ace, then I don't really see them going far just being able to hit and have big guys coming
100%.
Out of the pen.
I agree 100%. And the second thing is Judge has to start playing good in the playoffs. Those two things have
to happen. Sure, got to get there. And hopefully not as the last wild card team, you know?
Yeah, I hope not. And then Yarbo coming back is going to help too, you know. So I think everything's going. It looks like Volpe has come out of his funk, right? He's throwing a lot better now.
Yeah, and I hope that he brings his bat after having 2 days off, getting down to Tampa, familiar confines where he won the Yankees starting shortstop job a few years back. I hope Volpe can get back to hitting some home runs, hitting for average, getting on base, stealing some bases.
Yeah, you know what I would do, and I'll let you go real quick, with Volpe and other players. If I'm Boone, I'm saying these guys like Volpe, Caballero, maybe even Chisholm. I want to see one bunt out of you at least one every two games. I want to see a bunt. Learn how to bunt. It's not that hard to do, and it can get you on base, and it can get you going. That's part of the game. You got the speed. Let's use the damn speed. Have a good one. Nice talking to you, buddy.
Thanks for the call. Yeah, Caballero, that's in his bag, of course, as a nine-hitter, a speed guy, when he gets the opportunity to play. We've seen Trent Grisham lay down a bunt, but honestly, Trent Grisham, with his power and his clutch gene, you kind of want to see him swing away. Volpe's got to be able to lay down some bunts, Jazz lay some bunts, but those guys can hit for power. So I know we talk a lot about bunts. They don't bunt. And then we got the stat from Katie Sharp that, you know, Caballero's bunt over the weekend was only the third hit that the Yankees have gotten from a, you know, laying down a bunt all season, which was the lowest in Major League Baseball tied with the Twins. It kind of opens your eyes to, like, they literally do not play the smallest of ball like that. It is feast or famine, home run or nothing. But, you know, when need be, they have to be able to pull that out of the tool bag. That was something I was saying last night. To have all these different tools in your bag and not use them, like speed, like putting pressure on the defense, stealing bases, like, it's time. The Yankees don't have any time left to not be scratching and clawing for every out, every base, every run, every win. 888-808-1019. As I'm watching this preseason game, and we've only got one more left, you know, these games, it doesn't matter who wins, but it's a win for you to see, you know, these star players go out there and look the part. And, you know, I was talking a lot about Jackson Dart, who the national audience now, yeah, he more than looks the part. Where it's starting to get loud now, where the national audience is looking at Russell Wilson, who we've known for years, and they're saying, Russell Wilson, what's his value to the Giants? I think his value is a lot. I think the Giants' offense with him, Malik Nabers, and just having a veteran that is savvy and reading defenses and it's not too big for, I think he's going to be great for the Giants. I don't think he's going to be a great player, but I think he's going to be great for the Giants compared to a Daniel Jones. He's not going to be afraid to let the ball rip as we saw him, you know, make a big throw over the weekend. And I also think he's going to be great for the Giants, for Jackson Dart to learn from, and also to potentially shield Jackson Dart as long as he could stay healthy. If they can win some games with Russell Wilson, you're not going to Jackson Dart. Jackson Dart could be QB2, one play away, but you wait on that. Now, with the Jets, the situation is not alarming, but it is concerning right now, because if you know, they have hitched their wagon to Justin Fields. The contract isn't anything crazy, but the contract is enough where he's QB1 no matter what. And Tyrod Taylor had the procedure where he's out for a little while. And, you know, these guys like Martinez and Cook, you know, they let them throw the ball in the preseason game. But those guys aren't NFL quarterbacks that you're going to win anything with. I do feel, and I'll say this again, I do feel like Justin Fields is a athletic, serviceable quarterback that the Jets can win some games with. Playoffs, probably not. But I also am not reading so much into the five passes he threw over the weekend, the play calls, the play call designs, to write him off and say he can't throw, he's not going to be a passer, it's not going to work, there is no passing game. If you know that, and I know that, again, Aaron Glenn knows that, Tanner Engstrom knows that, the Jets know that. They know his skill set. They've been working with him for months. They are going to get him into the best plays and formations and calling the best plays to utilize his skill set. Jonah is in Manhattan on the Fan next. Hello, Jonah.
Hey, Keith. How you doing, man?
I'm all right. You know, hanging out, talking sports. Appreciate you calling. What you thinking about?
I'm thinking about Justin Fields. I got to be an optimist for him because it doesn't seem like too many others are.
Yeah, I'm with you. Go on.
So I look back at his first year in Chicago. The team wins 3 years, but that year he was flashy. He made these crazy runs every week, but he didn't have a real receiver on the team, didn't have an offensive line, didn't have a defense. Then in year two, they had the number one pick. They trade it. They get DJ Moore in that deal. He has a good receiver, the offense actually looks like something with the real receiver. Fields shows that he can win games, but they didn't have a great defense or a great offensive line that year either. I think the team won 7 games that year. So then they trade into Pittsburgh, and then after Russell Wilson gets hurt, they throw him into the fire. He wins. He starts out, I think, 4-0. I think he went 4-2. He had a real defense, and he looked good. And he had I think he had a real offensive line. So now with the Jets, I think he could have a good offensive line. He has a good defense and a good receiver. So it's not like things are set up to fail in New York for him. I think he could do well as a Jet.
Yeah, I'm following along with you. You know, one thing I'll add is, like, when he did get DJ Moore, I watched a couple games where him and DJ Moore lit it up. That's why I have a hard time with people saying he can't throw the ball. He's not Joe Burrow, as I've watched Joe Burrow on the screen tonight. He's also not Jaden Daniels, but he is an athletic quarterback that can make all the throws. He's just got to be in the right offense. It's the first year, and I think we got to be optimistic about what they're going to be and what they're trying to do. They are going to establish the run. They have 3 running backs. They're going to run him. They are going to get teams off balance with how they run the ball and the threat of him running the ball, where it's not going to be so hard for him to hit a wide open Garrett Wilson, who he went to Ohio State with. Now, I don't think that they really have a strong tight end room, and I don't think that they really have too many other great options at receiver outside of Garrett Wilson. So why would we be looking for them to have much of a passing attack anyway? Why would we be looking for them to have a drop back passing game? Like, that's not what they're going to be built off of in year one. I think we got to kind of pump our brakes a little bit. And like you said, be optimistic about the athleticism and the intangibles and what we're going to get out of Aaron Glenn in the first year with the Jets. We have no idea, but I think they're going to be better run, better coach, better managed. And I think the game manager at quarterback is Justin Fields, who will manage the game, but then will also give you some highlight reel plays with his legs and then maybe have some deep throws to Garrett Wilson when they get him open.
I agree. Also, the play action, because they brought over from Detroit Tanner Engstrand, so it's going to be run and play action. And so that could get the defense off balance.
Yep.
Yes, screens, play action, and the running game. So
Breece Hall. Breece Hall is probably going to be the number 2 wide receiver behind Garrett Wilson.
Yeah, he's a good dual threat running back. He's one of the best receiving running backs in the league. And with the play action and the off balanceness, he can also run if no one's open. So I think he's a good fit, and they have the right coordinator and right coach for him.
Yeah, it's year one. There's just so much to be seen. No one can put their finger on it through 2 preseason games. But I did like the first showing where he led the team down, and when there was nothing there, he took off running, and the receiver kind of deked the corner and chased him into the back of the end zone, and he ran in. I think that they're going to make some plays, man, and I don't think that they're going to force a round peg into a square hole. I think that they know who Justin Fields is. Aaron Glenn coached against him, Detroit versus Chicago. I think they specifically went out to get him and want to work with him and help him become a better passing quarterback, but they're not going to force him to be Patrick Mahomes. They're not going to force him to be Justin Herbert. They're going to work on his skill set. I think he's going to be getting rid of the ball quickly. I think there's going to be a lot of run game play action. I think there's going to be a lot of underneath passes, quick reads, get the ball out of his hands. He's not going to be asked to do what people think he's going to be asked to do.
Yep, agree. I think 100% a good fit, and they're not, like you said, they're not looking for him to go out of his comfort zone. That's why they're going to be running the ball. So they're going to try to develop him. It's not like they're saying, "Oh, we got star quarterback here," because he hasn't been a star quarterback. But they're going to try to develop him into a good leader and a good quarterback. And I think that's a reason to be optimistic.
Yeah, and it's low risk. If it doesn't work out, then they're not married to him long term. They can go find somebody else. Jonah, thank you for the call. 888-808-1019. I just think that, you know, they did not want to go the Aaron Rodgers route. And I talk so much about they watched the film. They cut on the film. Aaron Glenn said, yeah, we're going to pour over the film. They watched every play of every Jets game last year and decided it'd be best to go in another direction. And I think that they're right. And I think week one, they are going to have an opportunity to look right at Aaron Rodgers and blitz him and sack him and show people this guy is old. This guy can't move. He's not what he used to be. They are not going to ask Justin Fields to be Aaron Rodgers. The Jets defense or the Jets offense is going to look a lot different. And the Jets defense should be decent as well. Now, have they been overhyped over the years? Sure. But they have a lot of solid players over there. So I think their whole scheme, their whole approach is going to be play good defense, run the ball, control the clock, kill the clock, possession, like, you know, time of possession, win games like that, where when they get into short yardage, when they get into goal line, Justin Fields is unstoppable in those moments. Like, he's going to be able to put his head down and get you 1 yard, 2 yards. He's not going to be asked to throw the ball 40, 50 times a game like Dak Prescott. It's just, you know, it's a different, I don't know, it's a different type of quarterback skill set that Jets fans are going to see. You're also not watching Zach Wilson or Mike White or Tim Boyle. Like, I know he missed some easy passes over the weekend, but, like, he's got to be able to complete these screens, these quick passes, these smoke routes, these tunnel screens, these quick get the ball out of your hands 5 yards, 10 yards, nothing more than that. He's got to hit those guys in the numbers every single time with that and not think so much. It's got to be natural. It's got to be second nature. 888-808-1019. As we are filling up the calls, I have less than an hour until Anthony Recker joins us to talk about the Mets. I started off the show talking about the Mets. You know, it was a big positive Tommy day. Everybody's testing positive. Loogie, 4.5 hours on the fan today, you know, talking about his positive Tommy tweets. And I will lead us in believing in the power of positivity. And I do feel like the Met fan is feeling positive now. Coming off of Pete Alonso breaking the record and Pete Alonso having 2 homers that night. And then beating the Mariners in a series where Nolan McLean makes his debut, and there's a lot of buzz and positive energy around that. And then you go to Williamsport in front of these little kids. Mark Vientos shows up. Francisco Lindor shows up. Juan Soto is having fun. He's shuffling out there. He's out there, you know, talking to Julio Rodriguez. And then when you look at Clay Holmes, he gives you 5. That's good enough for Clay. It was, you know, 1 run, 5 hits. And then you're able to go to the bullpen, and Ryan Escape from Helsley does not fail. You know, coming in after Reed Garrett gives up a couple runs, and you're able to go to Tyler Rogers, and that's it. And you feel better about these 2 rentals that you gave up so much for this push and this run. And now what you hope is that you're out of the woods with the Mets, and they're able to get right as they have this stretch of games without an off day, where they'll be adding another starter, maybe a Brandon Sproat, right? Paul Blackburn's not an option. Frankie Montas is not an option. You just saw Nolan McLean. Like, somebody's going to, Tyler McGill, somebody's got to come up here and pitch. But I think you feel better because the offense is clicking and the bullpen is solid. If you can get 5-6 innings out of your starters, you'll be in better shape. Now, we're waiting to hear what has happened with the thumb, the right thumb of Francisco Alvarez. 20 minutes ago, New York Post said the Mets can only hope Francisco Alvarez's frustrating luck is due for a turn. I don't have, I don't pay for it, so I can't see anything in there. This is a Mike Vaccaro article that I don't know if they, I don't think anywhere have they told us what the verdict is on that MRI today that Francisco Alvarez got. So we're still waiting on that. What is up with his thumb? Is he okay? Does he have to hit the IL? You know, is it the same thumb, you know, that he hurt earlier in the season, or hand that he hurt earlier in the season? Like, I don't know. I'm searching Twitter. I'm not seeing that. Let's go to Chuck in Eatontown next on the fan as I continue to look for any news on the Mets catcher.
Hello, Keith.
Hello.
Like your show.
Thanks.
I'm a Giants fan and a Mets fan. And when it comes to the Giants, when I take what I've seen so far, Dart, I'll tell you who he reminds me of with his stature, because he's the same size.
Baker Mayfield.
And the way he – no, uh-uh.
Who?
Pat Mahomes.
He does have some Mahomes in him, some sidearm throw.
He's got, yes, exactly.
Some moxie, yeah, making plays.
Yes. And I'm very impressed with him. Although Mahomes sat behind
Alex Smith
the whole,
and he should
the
sit
whole first year.
Yeah, he should sit as well.
I agree with you 100%. Main reason I called, though, was about a week or maybe 2 weeks ago, you had mentioned that your parents graduated from Monmouth Regional.
Yes.
And so did I.
Yeah, I don't know what year.
You don't know what year?
Yeah, I don't know what year. They both went to Monmouth Regional High School.
Yeah, because I graduated in 69.
Okay, they were after
I'm 74. They're after me?
Yeah, I would say late 70s, like 78, 79.
Oh, okay. I know quite a few people graduated from that.
Yeah, that's why, you know, I always, I'm Monmouth County all the way. I was born in Monmouth Medical Center. I went to Monmouth University. My parents went to Monmouth Regional. You could drop me anywhere in Monmouth County and I could get home. I know all those roads and streets and neighborhoods. Yeah.
I hear you. I know you quarterbacked the Ocean Township Spartans also.
State champions. Yes, sir.
Oh, you were state champs.
Yeah. And we used to play Monmouth Regional on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, well, not when I went there, he didn't. We played Shore Regional.
Oh, that's right. I think because the school was smaller back then.
I don't know what happened. But I guess Ocean used to play, prior to playing
Asbury, I think.
Yeah, and that was because Neptune used to play Asbury. Mm-hmm. But they had a big fight. Yeah. And they stopped.
Yeah.
And
he used to get active. So that, Neptune versus Asbury on Thanksgiving.
Yes. Yes. Very much so.
I know it well.
I think the Giants are going to surprise a lot of teams this year.
I think they can too, because they're going to be underdogs every week. And I was telling people months ago, even before the draft, pick your spots to bet on the Giants. Pick your spots to bet on the Giants early, because they're going to surprise some teams with coaching. They're going to surprise some teams with new players. It's the NFL. Like, you know, everybody's just going to write them off and say they got the toughest strength of schedule. That's not how it works.
This kid Dart looks like he likes tight ends also.
Yeah, yeah. You saw the rookie tight end, from Nebraska, Theo Johnson, who they drafted last year. You know, they're going to get the ball out of this kid's hand, and they're going to give him easy completions to get him going. I was watching Baldy's breakdown of how, you know, he's just getting the ball out of his hand, you know, getting a rhythm going, leading some drives. And, like, this kid, I know he came out of Utah. So what? He was at USC, and then he went to Ole Miss. He's played big-time football, and he is ready for New York. He is taking it all in. He knows he is the future king of New York, the quarterback of the Giants, and I think he's ready for it. Thanks for the call, Chuck. 888-808-1019. I think that he's ready for it as far as, like, he understands this is his team in the future. I don't think he's ready to be the week one starter. But you know what? Force the issue, young man. Keep balling. Keep completing passes, not throwing interceptions, looking sharp, looking good. Like, you know, even when they drafted him, you know what I said, and we're about to break here, but I could talk Jackson Dart all day. When he balled against Duke, I was on the fan that night, and I made every excuse. I'm like, Duke is missing players. It's Duke. But he threw a ball going to his left, like 40 yards in the air. It was a dime. It was a dot. And I'm like, that's an NFL throw. I'm like, he's about to rise up the draft board. I'm like, he's the one. It had been Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders. I'm like, he's the one. This is the guy. Jackson Dart. Did I know that the Giants would draft him? I was on air with Big Mac doing Evan and Tiki on January 1st watching the Chick-fil-A, you know, Peach Bowl, and Cam Scataboo was going off, and I'm like, somebody is going to draft this kid, and he's going to be a steal. They got him too. Give it some time, Giants fans. You went through the struggle. You went through the mud. They say if you're going through hell, keep going. You have some young guys on your team that, like, football is what they do. Like, I mentioned him being out of Utah. He's not Zach Wilson. This is what Jets fans hope that they were getting out of Zach Wilson. Like, the Giants got a kid that they have to protect. And as long as they keep developing him and nurturing him the way that Daboll and the organization is, he's going to be your starter for years to come. And you're going to have a lot of fun with his moxie, his aura, his style of quarterback play. 888-808-1019. We got to take another break. Keith McPherson on the fan. Call us up. We'll be right back.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report. He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Halfway through another five-hour KM to AM on The Fan in New York. Somebody's favorite show on The Fan. Thanks for calling in. 888-808-1019. Thanks for watching live on YouTube. If you don't know, this is streaming live on our YouTube channel now, WFAN Overnight. You will see me, and then you will see one of our digital guys slash host, Pico de Gallo. Gallo will take over tonight. Big Mac is... overseas out in Italy. And yeah, you got me till 12. Another programming update. Anthony Recker will join us at 10:15 to talk Mets. Still waiting on any word on Francisco Alvarez and his thumb. You know, we'll talk about the upcoming schedule. We'll talk about the games that just passed. Are the Mets out of the woods? Mark Vientos, Francisco Lindor, Juan Soto, Nolan McLean, and the rest of, you know, the Mets rotation and bullpen. So we'll chop it up with Rec coming up. But, you know, before the break, we were talking about Jackson Dart. And before that, we were talking about Justin Fields. And with all these new quarterbacks out here, right, we've got the two quarterbacks that were in Pittsburgh last year. Russell Wilson, QB1 for the Giants. And then Justin Fields, QB1 for the Jets. And there's a lot of conversation about, oh, Mike Tomlin didn't go back to Justin Fields for a reason. And I think that had more to do with leadership, being a veteran, respect for Russell Wilson, but maybe he should have, because, you know, as we're, you know, in New York and Jets fans are calling up and they're talking about not being sure about Justin Fields, maybe the Steelers should have went back to him, because the Steelers lost 5 in a row behind Russell Wilson. Now, I know it's a different team, different setting. I think Russ is even like slimmed down and really locked in. Maybe, you know, he'll get the better version of himself here with the Giants, but like, I don't know, maybe on the other side of the coin, the Giants get a quarterback that is past his prime, can't make the plays in big moments, and maybe we see Justin Fields shine. Now, here's a comp for you that I was thinking about as I was like, you know, he's not going to be Jaden Daniels, he's not going to be Lamar Jackson, he's also not going to be Pat Mahomes, he's not going to be Joe Burrow, he's not going to be the MVP Josh Allen. But there were so many people saying that Jalen Hurts couldn't throw. There were so many people criticizing Jalen Hurts' ability to pass. And when the time came for him to throw, he made the throws. And you know what he had? A good running game. And he was a threat running the ball too, which opened up the passing lanes. Kevin is down in Howard Beach. What's up, man? You're on The Fan.
Hey, Keith. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm calling because you hit a nerve with this Wilson stuff. I suffered, and I mean... suffered through Wilson as a Jet fan. And when I was watching this weekend, I could not believe what I was seeing. I thought I was seeing a replay all over again. I see a guy that's got talent, but it just seems like he can't make it in the pros. And for all due respect, I think his last coach has a pretty nice resume to know what's good and what's not. Help me out. Give me hope.
Yeah. I would say it's preseason again, and we're not sure exactly what they were looking for with their play calls, what they were trying to do with Fields in the second one, what they were trying to see. It didn't look great, but like
I didn't like that they just ran the ball
sure
on his last possession. Give it to somebody else.
Yeah, you know, but there was some good stuff from the offensive line. I saw a pancake block.
Yeah, that I'm happy about. But I'm really concerned. I thought getting him was going to be a good thing. But...
yeah, I think it can be. I think it can be. Like in baseball sometimes when you'll see a pitcher make a start in the preseason You know, he might just be working on throwing his fastball, locating his fastball, and he grooves a couple and they get hit for home runs. And it's like, ah, that's tough. Well, we're not going to throw this guy's whole season away. He was out there specifically working on, you know, his fastball.
It's funny you say that because as I'm watching it, I'm like, I hope they're holding back on what they really want to do.
Yeah, they're
especially
not showing their hand.
That last drive where they're just handing it off. So hopefully they saw something that they like and they see something that I don't see. I'm going into just another, I'm 67 years old, Keith. I'm 67, and I didn't even get to watch. I didn't get to enjoy the Jets' first Super Bowl because I was rooting for the Colts. Because my father was a Colts fan.
Were they the Baltimore Colts back then?
I did whatever my father wanted. So I'm like, I might be the curse.
No.
I might be the reason why. No. I don't know.
we all take our personal perspectives.
I don't want to sound like Joe Benigno. No. But, you know.
What a disaster. Thanks for the call, Kevin. Yeah, I know a lot of times we think that we affect the games. It was me. I didn't wear my lucky jersey or I switched teams or I didn't go and get my lucky sandwich. We have nothing to do with it. I don't want the Jet fan who, like, you know what? Even when AG was coming in, I'm like, you guys aren't excited for this? You guys aren't pumped up for this season? This guy's not saying the right things to make you kind of... It's tough being a Jet fan, man, but I would not quit on the season because of one preseason game from Justin Fields. It's not going to matter. As soon as he is breaking out in the open field, you're going to be like, hey, he's not so bad. As soon as they are establishing the run, and you think, like, they paid Garrett Wilson. You think he's not going to get a bunch of targets? You think they're not going to throw the ball? They're going to throw the ball. These guys are going to scheme, and they're going to put him in situations to succeed. They're not going to go against the grain with the guy. They've been around him now for a few months. Just wait for it. Please just wait for it. He can throw the football. They're not going to ask him to make 2, 3, 4 reads, stand in the pocket, and deliver the ball. The play calls, they got to be better than that, and AG is going to coach his way into getting production out of this offense one way or another. The priority is to run, and then the run will open up the pass. And you know what else, too? It was the Battle of New York, the Snoopy Bowl, MetLife. So maybe there was something to that, too. I can't read too much into the preseason. You know, and I know the Jets and Giants don't play each other this year in the regular season, but maybe there's something to, like, hey, this, we just practiced against these guys all week. This is what we're going to try to do against them in the actual game. That familiarity, it's a real thing that you guys don't think about. Like, they played each other in practice all week, one-on-ones, 7-on-7, 11-on-11. Then, you know, you get to see the Saturday night game. It's different. So I don't know. I'm not reading too much into that. Let's go back to the phones. My guy, David Rifkin, down in Florida. What's up, Dave?
What's up, buddy? First of all, for the record, in our house, you are our favorite WFAN show. So I don't care what anybody says.
You guys are biased, though. You guys are Yankee Stadium goers. You guys are completely biased.
Listen, if we're going to go back to baseball and talk about the Yankees, and people are saying, oh, I won't be back or I won't believe it until they play the Red Sox and beat the Red Sox. You know something? Play whoever you play each day and win that game. I don't care who it's against. Maybe we have the easiest schedule the rest of the way out, which means we had a harder schedule to get here. But last time I checked, we are now ahead of Seattle in the wild card race. Boston's potentially losing right now. Just win the game you play, play a good way out, and we'll see where the cards fall at the end of the day.
Yeah, handle business, right? If they don't handle business against these bum teams and they play down to their competition, the house is on fire. When you beat them, it's like, well, you're supposed to beat these. You still handle your business. You got to handle your business against whoever it is. And they did this weekend. They swept the Cardinals good. Now, if they can take two against Tampa and then roll into this series, and like you just mentioned, the Red Sox are losing, like, things can change fast. I talked about this team evolving still and becoming still, and new pieces like Caballero, new pieces like Bednar after the deadline, like, still kind of figuring out things and how opening day the lineup is one way, and it is never the same when you get to October. So this team is not in their final form. They are still figuring out some things. Boone, I think, is managing with a sense of urgency. And I'm excited to see what happens here this weekend. I don't have that much faith, but I know anything can happen. And man, when we talk about this, the rest of the season, this is something I was going to do tonight, and you bring it up. They have the softest schedule. And what I hope is that we just get to the point where, you know, coming up here, we're playing Washington and four against the White Sox. And, you know, even in September, having Minnesota again. Baltimore, I'm not really considering a slouch, but the White Sox, Baltimore, like, there is still a realistic chance to win the division.
I mean, when you're talking about Baltimore at the end of the season, those last couple games, there's a real chance that guys were nicked up, shut it down, right? Like the things that that happen in September that we don't even think about.
September call-ups are going to happen, and some teams are going to be trying to see what their young guys have.
Sometimes the team needs a bit of the jolt of energy, and I think Caballero is definitely one of those guys. I think Bednar's those guys. All of a sudden, it feels like the energy is different when those guys are around. Obviously, it looks like Rosario's back tomorrow. Just brings a little bit of extra energy that when he gets out there, as opposed to Escobar, who's just sitting on the bench. It feels like the vibes are changed a little bit, but more than anything, it's truly just take the game that you got to play. So take tomorrow's game, win tomorrow's game, and worry about the next day the next day. But there's a real chance that you're getting to September, and they're closer to Toronto than we think. And all of a sudden, their footsteps are there, and we'll see where the cards fall.
And
right?
Exactly. Then you forget all about the June Boone swoon. In July, you cried. All days of August, all this stuff we're talking about. Fire Aaron Boone, Cashman sucks, this team, that. This, like, you forget all about that. If when they get to the end of the ride, they're in good standing. And it's still very much on the table, like I said, to win the division. I don't want them to be the last wild card team. That's not good enough. This is a team that should be competing
for the record. For the record, if Boone didn't go to Devin a few of those times, we'd be even closer. But we'll save that.
No, but I'm right there with you. Eight times. That's the difference in the standings right there, for sure. Half of those would have us in different standing. And that's what, you know, when I got off the roller coaster that Friday night that I was at the Astros game, I'm like, I can't believe you would do this to me. And all of us, Devin Williams is not more important than all of the fans in that ballpark, all the fans watching. You knew he just blew two games in Texas. You knew better.
Yep. I mean, I was in Texas and I was in Miami and I watched those games.
You literally saw it live the whole week. You saw Devin Williams' last opportunity in high leverage for the Yankees, hopefully. You saw it live, and they just had to keep touching the stove and getting burned, touching the stove and getting burned. So they got burnt that time, and it was really loud. And now, low-lev Dev, we've got him coming out, first guy out of the bullpen, sixth inning, whatever. Works for me. He's been great.
I mean, we see the Stanton stat all weekend. I think that had more to do with St. Louis than anything else. But if we can get to a world where Judge and Stanton the rest of the way are even alternating in right field, right, so you can keep them both in the lineup.
How great would that be? And even like I said, what a luxury we have to go to St. Louis with half of Judge and no Stanton and be able to sweep them. What a luxury it would be to get Judge back in right field, or even have those two kind of platooning at home or whatever it is. Even if they don't, Caballero can play right. They have some options here. They have some depth here. They have some hitters here. Guys like Max Fried got to come around. But I feel good about Luis Gil and Will Warren and Cam Schlittler and this bullpen. Let's bully, man. Let's end of the season be the best part of the season where they match what they did to start.
And if Yarby comes back, if Cruz comes back, if a couple of these guys add that length to that thing, a little bit of reliability, maybe you can let Fried go five innings, 80 pitches if he has good outing, and let him leave and get a little bit of rest. That was the one thing I've noticed this year with Fried, is it feels like most seasons Boone finds games to give guys shorter outings for their blowouts or whatever it is, and they end up being like softer landing spots. I don't think that Fried has had any of those this year.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. Fried is the major key. If all of a sudden Fried can string together some good starts the rest of the way, then this whole thing feels really different, because he is the ace. He is the guy that is, you know, got this large contract and is here, you know, was here to back up Cole in the postseason. No, now you got to lead the way, and then Rodon is backing him up, and then, you know, we'll see how it shakes out. But he is the X factor. If he can return to form the rest of the way, then you feel good about the Yankees' chances against this American League.
I mean, either way, we are three outs away in a 6-1 game from Boston and Seattle.
Yeah, I keep refreshing.
One game in the loss column behind the New York Yankees in the wild card.
I've got 30 tabs open.
A whole different season with a month plus to go.
Yeah. Oh, the Orioles just added on a couple more runs. It's 6-1 yep. now. So, yeah, yep. They're going to rally 5 runs to tie it in Fenway, bottom of the ninth. Doubtful. So, that's great. Exactly. Put another loss on them while we're off. And then if we handle business in our spring training home and take 2 from Tampa, who isn't playing for anything, then you feel good about this 4-game set coming up at home.
A smart Yankee once said, play today, win today, that's it.
Mariano Duncan. Yeah, I got to make those t-shirts. I remember I was talking to you. I was like, I'm going to make those t-shirts. And then they started losing. I'm like, I can't make those shirts. Can't bring that back.
My friend. Have a good night, buddy.
Appreciate you. I'll see you at the stadium. Thanks for the call. 888-808-1019. We got to break it down. Keith McPherson on the Fan. Right back after this.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report. He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Yes, sir. KM to AM, Keith McPherson on the Fan. Looking at some football stuff as I'm watching Monday Night Football and notes and updates coming out of the NFL. And I'm like, wow, I'm just thinking about my own football life. And I mean, if you've listened to me over the last 4 years, you've heard all these stories, right? Russell Wilson tonight has the $1 million dinner. Tiki Barber went out there. Maybe somebody's driving home right now listening to WFAN. Myself and Russell Wilson were at the UVA football camp. That's Tiki Barber School. UVA football camp many moons ago. I think it was like 2005 or 2006. Both of us were in the quarterback group throwing up on the High Hill field where only the top players got to go. I got to see Russell Wilson, how accurate he was. He was never a big guy. He was never really an outspoken guy, very quiet guy. I met Russell Wilson all those years ago. And all I knew about him then was like, oh, this kid's going somewhere in the ACC, he's going to play football and baseball. He's really like that. And I was recruited, but I wasn't anything too great. I was just decent enough to get a couple scholarships and get out of my situation, which I thank God for. But I remember looking in a magazine of, you know, top quarterbacks in the country. I think I got ranked in like the top 100 at some point. And the number one guy was Matthew Stafford. Matthew Stafford returned to practice today. I remember Giants fans were all hot and bothered over a potential trade of Matthew Stafford to the Giants. And yeah, I remember looking at him being like, this kid's number one. And then fast forward after my senior year, I played in the Shore Conference in the Governor's Bowl game with No Sean Moreno. Shout out to Sean and his family, Middletown South. No Sean goes to Georgia and plays with Matthew Stafford. Those guys played as freshmen. And, you know, I went to James Madison University. But my second scholarship that I got was from Delaware. I thought I was going to fight with the Blue Hens down there in Newark. Casey Keeler recruited me and was so good to me, showed me around campus. I remember showing up to camp there. And since I already had the offer, they're like, where's your cleats? Where's your shorts? I said, I'm not working out. I already got an offer. What else you guys need to see? He says, all right, well, come on with me to Main Street and around campus. We'll show you around. And then when I got with the offensive coordinator and started going over the offense and the install and what type of plays we were going to run. You know, I asked him something that I had read on a forum. I'm like, is it true that Joe Flacco is going to transfer from Pitt to Delaware? I read that on, remember forums back in the day? It used to be like NJ.com forums, and it used to have all these rumors about college football and high school football. And he didn't know anything about it, but I think he was playing dumb. And I'm like, I think there's some truth to this. And not long after, I found out that Joe Flacco was transferring in from Pitt because Tyler Palko was going to be the starter. Tyler Palko. Well, Joe Flacco was named the starter, QB1 for the Browns today. And I end up seeing him my sophomore year when James Madison went to Delaware to play against Joe Flacco. And I told you guys that story a bunch of times, right? 888-808-1019. In another world, I am NFL quarterback. Yeah, right. Yeah, right. I'm on the Fan talking about Aaron Boone and Devin Williams with you guys. Richard is in Manhattan before we get to the update. Go for it, Rich.
Keith, Devin Williams has been pitching great. And I don't believe in that term,
high leverage situation. Every situation in baseball, the
third inning
is, my opinion. The other night, for example, Devin Williams came in for Fried. Fried got banged around.
Sure.
He pitched a great sixth inning. And my thing was, I think Williams should be able to pitch two innings. He's a big, strong guy. Let him reinvent himself.
Is he a strong guy? He doesn't really strike me as a strong guy. Big guy either? I don't know.
All right, but you know, he's a menacing guy on the mound. I think he can go two innings each time, fifth and sixth and seventh, even seventh and eighth.
Bednar is the big, strong, menacing guy. Richard, thanks for the call. Rich, you've already ran that by me. It's not going to happen. Devin Williams has been a pussycat on the mound. They're not running him out there twice. They want him to face three and be done. And he can't do it in the ninth, which he's done, and they're applying that, hey, he was a closer, and that's what he's used to, and now they're having him do an inning, and I think that's good. Let's not push it. Let's just get the best that we can get out of this guy. He's not coming back. And we sent Nestor Cortes and Caleb Durbin away for him. Caleb Durbin homer today. And Nestor Cortes made his debut for the Padres today. It hasn't gone well. When we play this update and come back, I'll tell you about Nestor Cortes in a Padres uniform facing the San Francisco Giants. Hit it, Ray.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report. He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.